Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'al Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Tesvov, a quote from the Mishnah, Avoloi Sandol HaMesumar. The Mishnah had mentioned that there are items that one is not allowed to send as a gift to his friend on Yom Tov. And one of the items was a Sandal Hamasumar. This is a shoe that has nails that are inserted into the shoe, into the bottom of the shoe. And the Gemara says, Sandal Hamasumar, my time alone. This kind of nailed shoe, why is it forbidden? Answer, Mishum Maisa Shahoya, because of an incident that took place in history. Rashi is very terse. He says, simply says, you can look up the story in Maseches Shabbos in Perek Bamei Isha, Daf Samach. The Gemara there tells of a story where the Jews were in hiding from their enemies, from the Romans, and they were hiding in a cave, and they thought they had been discovered, and as a result, they ended up, there was an internal rampage, and they ended up trampling one another, and they had been wearing these shoes with these nails protruding from the bottom, and ended up killing one another, and quite a few people died in that incident. So and that incident took place on a Shabbos, and as a result of that incident, so they said that a sandal hamasumar is not allowed to be worn on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov, and hence one cannot send it as a gift to one another on Shabbos nor Yom Tov. Omar Abaye, sandal hamasumar, regarding this kind of shoe, osur linalo umutur letatalo. It is osur to wear it, it's forbidden to wear it, but it is permitted to move it around as you would any vessel. Osur linalo mishum maisa shahoya. The prohibition of wearing it is because of the incident that had taken place. Umutur letatalo, and it is mutter to move it around, and this Abaye discovers from the wording of the Mishnah, midikotoni ein mishalchin, from the fact that the Mishnah says that what you are prohibited in doing is sending it as a gift. That is what is prohibited. But as far as other movement, moving the shoe around in your own premises, that's okay. The isakadaitach osur letaltalo, if one would think that it would be forbidden to even move it around. Once it is known as forbidden to merely move around, would I need to tell you that you cannot send it? So if the Mishnah is telling us you can't send it, that indicates that the sending is that which is prohibited, but merely moving it around within your own confines, that is okay. Velo minol sheino tofur. The Mishnah mentioned that a shoe, a minol is a shoe that's not sewn together, you cannot send. Pshita, it's obvious, it doesn't have any use, and as such, of course, you can't send it to your friend. The Gemara says, lo nitzrucha, the Mishnah is necessary, da'afagav denokit besichi, even though the shoe is being held together with sichi. Rashi says they are little wooden pegs. Another pshat that Rashi gives, that there is a brief amount of stitching that was done to keep the top of the shoe together with its sole. But that's not enough. And hence, the Mishnah tells us, minol sheino tofur, a shoe that's not completely sewn shut, if it's merely held together by little pegs or a brief stitching, one cannot send that to his friend on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af lo minol lovon. One cannot send a shoe that is white. People don't wear those. And the Mishnah mentioned that things that people wouldn't benefit from, wouldn't wear, so one is not allowed to send it. Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shachar v'oyser b'lavon. Rabbi Yehuda allows the sending of a black shoe, but not of a white one. Mipnei shetzorch bitzis hagir, because it needs treatment with bitzis hagir. Now Rashi explains that gir is a type of earth that blackens. It could be something that has charcoals or whatever it is. It's a substance, some type of mineral makeup of the dirt that when applied to other things, it blackens it. The term bitzas is anything that's kneaded together, a thick type of substance that kneaded together. So it could be that it's a type of a paste that is used for blackening shoes. Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yossi oser b'shachar mitnei shet sorach letzachzachai. Rabbi Yossi forbids the sending of even a black shoe, because even if it's black, it still needs to be letzachzachos, to be smoothed out or shined out. The Rashi says lahachliko. The word lahachliko means to smooth it out. So we have, in this source, Rabbi Yehuda allows shachar and Rabbi Yossi forbids shachar. The lo pligi, and the Gemara says they're not arguing. Mor ki asrei, umor ki asrei, each opinion here, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, are according to their communities. Be asrei demor, in the community of Rabbi Yehuda, bisra latachas. The shoe is made of leather, and leather is the skin of an animal. One side of the skin is what's called is opposite the animal's meat, animal's flesh, and the other side of the skin is where the hair grows. The side of the skin that is facing down into the animal, so to speak, facing its boss or its flesh, that skin has on it what Rashi says are klipos, like different layers of shells or scaliness, and that has to be smoothed out. However, if that part of the skin is facing downwards, it's not exposed people where people will see it, it's facing inwards, that's bisra letachas. So it doesn't matter if it's still scaly. Therefore, there's no need for letzachsecho, there's no need for shining it or for smoothing it down. Asrei demor, in Rabbi Yossi's location, even though it might have been dyed black, neras bisra liel, the bosser side of the skin, the flesh side of the skin, is facing outwards, and if it hasn't been shined down or smoothed down, it's still something people would not wear, even though it may be black. So as we see here, there isn't a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. It's just that there's a differentiation between how the shoes are constructed. The Gemara continues. Ze haklal kol shini oisin boi biyom tov. The Mishnah said that anything that you can benefit from, so you can send it on Yom Tov. Rav Sheshes shara luhu l'rabbanon l'shdurei tefillin biyom tova. Rav Sheshes allowed his students, allowed the rabbis to send tefillin to their friends on Yom Tov. Omar le Abaye. Abaye asks, V'anan t'nan, have we not learned kol sheni oisin boi b'yom tov m'shachan oso? And the simple translation of the Mishnah would indicate that anything you benefit from on Yom Tov, that's the kind of thing you can send on Yom Tov. People do not wear tefillin on Yom Tov, just like you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. We don't wear tefillin on Yom Tov. So it's not something that you benefit from on Yom Tov. So how can Rav Sheshes allow them to send tefillin to one another? The Gemara answers, Hochi Komar. Thusly, we are really to understand the Mishnah. Kol shinoisin boi b'chol, mishalchen oisoi b'yom tov. The term nioisin, that you benefit from, is not going on Yom Tov. All that nioisin refers to is anything that's ready for benefit during the week. In other words, it's a ready-made product. It's a finished product. So a product like that, that can be sent on Yom Tov. So that as the reference to Yom Tov is going on Mishalchin, not going on the Oisin, as Rashi points out, across from here, Mishalchin also B'Yom Tov, the high B'Yom Tov, the Kotoni Mas Nisen, the word B'Yom Tov that the Mishnah said, when the Mishnah said, Kol Shin Oisin Boi, the next expression, B'Yom Tov, is not connected to Ni'oisin, but rather, it's as Rashi says, Lava Ni'oisin de la Kamekoi, the word, expression Yom Tov, is not going on Ni'oisin, which preceded it, El Amishalchin de Basrei, but rather it's going on the term Mishalchin that follows Yom Tov. Ulasui Tfilin also, and this comes to include Tfilin. And Rashi goes on to say, "Deinami monach lubi Yom Tov leki suro." In fact, if you were to put tefillin on Yom Tov, so you're not violating a halacha. We continue now in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, we have a structural note on the side where we see the no say mivne, a topic heading, a structural note combined into one. The house form appears, and they are three halachas be'inyan shmiras tefillin. Three halachas regarding the watching, the caring of tefillin. And the double underline highlights the beginning of each new halacha. HaGemara dona mosai shayich kol echod ve'echod. The Gemara will explain when is each one of these cases appropriate. So if we you'll see the structure initially of Abaye has a din, and then under Abaye you can see there are two double underlines, so there are two halachas under Abaye's name, and then there's a number two house introduces a Tanaic source which also has two halachas, also highlighted with a double underline, and those two halachas will parallel the two halachas Abaye mentions. However, the maskona of each halacha in the Tanaic source is not like the maskona, is not like the conclusion that Abaye reaches on each one of those points. So following that, the Gemara will then resolve and explain. So we continue now in the Gemara. We open with a long point. Omar Abaye, tefillin hoyo v'osu liodon. Tefillin, since it's come upon us. In other words, we just finished mentioning Rav Sheshes and his allowing tefillin to be sent. So let us say more halachas concerning tefillin. That's name of Bahu Milsa. Let us say more halachas concerning tefillin. Hoyo bo baderech. Utfilin Barosho. Person is coming. According to Rashi, he's coming on Erev Shabbos. The Tosfos has a different approach to explaining these two halachas, but we're going to follow Rashi's pshat. Person is coming Erev Shabbos, and he's wearing tefillin. And V'shokol of Chamod, it's Shabbos is now entering. The sun is setting, ushering in Shabbos. So what is he to do? He's wearing tefillin. And Shabbos is not a time for wearing tefillin. Actually, the night is also not a time for wearing tefillin. What does he do? Meniach yodo alehem ad shemagia lebeis. So he puts his hand over his tefillin so that people don't see him. And he wears them all the way home. Hoyo yoshev bebeis hamedrash utefillin barosho. The Kiddush Shalav Hayom, person is sitting in the Beis Medrash, and it's pointed out that the Beis Medrash, the study hall, the Torah study hall, was located in fields. It was located out of town, and it's a place that was, the Beis Medrash was open, anyone could come in, anything could come, it can enter. It's not a place that one would want to leave his tefillin unguarded. So he's sitting there on the Beis Medrash, and he's with tefillin on. And it should be noted that in the time of the Gemara, and you find references to this now and then, that people would wear their tefillin all day. So with that in mind, he was wearing his tefillin Friday, and now the Kiddush Shalav Hayom Shabbos sets in. Meniach yodo aleim ad shemagia lebeiso. So he simply puts his hand over his tefillin, probably the tefillin shel rosh, which are generally exposed, and walks home with them. There's no problem of tiltal, of carrying things, because it's what we call derech malbush. He is not carrying them in his hand, but rather wearing them as he ordinarily wears tefillin. Mosiv Rav Huna Breid Rav Ika. Rav Huna raises a challenge to Abai from the following Tanaic source. Again, the double underlining introduces the two scenarios that Abaye spoke about. Hoyababa derech utfilin barosho v'kiddushalav hayom. He's on the road, and Shabbos sets in. Meniach yodo aleim ad shemagia l'bayis hasomuch l'choma. And here we've dashed underline the phrase bayis hasomuch l'choma. You can contrast this with the baba derech case of Abaye, where he said magia l'bayis until he gets home. Here it says until he gets to bayis hasomuch l'choma, the house nearest the wall of the city. In other words, he in that house he deposits the tefillin, doesn't wear them all the way home. Same case as before. He's sitting studying Torah, and Shabbos sets in. He could, now, what is he to do with the tefillin? He's not going to leave them in the Beis Medrash. So meniach yodo aleihem ad shemagia lebayis hasomuch lebeis hamedrash. He wears them till he gets to the house nearest the Beis Medrash and deposit the tefillin there. Well, so you see that this Tanaic source is more restrictive than what Abaye taught. Lo kashya, there is no difficulty here. Ha de mintara, ha de lo mintara. Mintara means guarded. If it's guarded, if it's the house that's nearest the city's wall, or the nearest the Beis Medrash is a place of that's secure, so leave them there. Don't wear them all the way home. Abaye was addressing a case where it's lo mintara, where in those locations, the bayis samach l'chomer, or the bayis samach Beis HaMedrash, it wouldn't be guarded there. Therefore, wear them all the way home, where it will be guarded, will it be where it is secure. The Gemara asks, "E de lo mintara." If Abaye was speaking about a case where it's lo mintara, my irya barosha, why does Abaye speak about a person already wearing the tefillin? Afilu machton aaro nami. Even if you find tefillin on the ground, on the street, we say de hotnan. Hamotze tefillin, a person who finds tefillin on Shabbos out in the fields, machnison zug zug, you bring them in pair by pair. Means you would put on the tefillin shel rosh, the tefillin shel yad, and wear them in. So, if you're talking about a situation, if Abaye is addressing a situation where there is where the other options are not secure and therefore he's allowed to wear them home, so why speak about a guy who's wearing the tefillin? You can even a case where he's not wearing the tefillin, we would allow bringing the tefillin in and, while he's wearing them, put them on and bring them in. So the question right now is, when, under what circumstances are we going to say that it's mutter to bring the tefillin all the way home, provided you're already wearing them? But if you weren't wearing them, we would say leave them there. So we're looking for a case where Abaye's scenario would be binding. So the Gemara answers, lo kashya, ha de lo mintura machmas ganvi u machmas kalbi, ha de mintura machmas kalbi velo mintura machmas ganvi. The case of someone finding tefillin and he's allowed to wear them in, that would be only if there is the tefillin are at risk of thieves and dogs. Abaye was talking about a case where the tefillin would be protected, let's say in that house near the wall, protected from dogs, but not from thieves. And what Abaye is therefore telling us is that since you're wearing them, and the house near the city wall or the house near the base medrash would not provide security from thieves, we allow you to go all the way home. But if you found the tefillin in a place where they are secure from dogs, don't move them. Leave them where they are. So Abaye's chiddush is it under those circumstances that you are lacking the outside of your house, there would be a lack in thief security, security from thieves, we allow you to wear them all the way home. Just to repeat, as far as the source featured in the last Tanaic source, Hamotzi Tefillin, Machdis and Zug Zug, that's because the Tefillin there were at risk of dogs as well. Looking at Rashi, three lines from the end, V'lo Mintura Machmas Ganvi, V'ashmina Abaye, D'hoyo V'lo Mintura Machmas Ganvi, Abaye, in his scenario of a person is wearing the tefillin, he's allowed to wear them all the way home, it's a case where they weren't secure from thieves. And we say, Me'acha Shein B'rosho, once you're already wearing them, Yolicham Ad Beso. If you found tefillin in a place where they're secure against dogs, the Gemara continues, Mahu Detemo, without Abaye and his teaching, I would have thought, Roiv Listim Yisrael, Ninu Velo Mezalzali Behu, the majority of thieves in that area are Jewish, and they wouldn't desecrate the tefillin. Chomash Malon, Abaye tells me that if you're already wearing them, so that you can wear them all the way home. However, if you weren't wearing them, and they are secure as far as dogs are concerned, so then you would have to leave them where they are. Seems that we can now summarize this following the note that we have in our margin, where we've written Im Habayis Samuch L'Choyma, if the house nearest the city wall or near the base medrash is Nishmar, there is security. Roman numeral number 1, Legamri, completely secure. Manicham Sham, you leave them there. Roman numeral number 2, Mikalvi velo miganvi, it's secure from dogs but not from thieves. So now we say im hoya lovush bohem achnisam lebeso, if he is wearing them, so he can wear them home. Im lo hoya lovush bohen ela motzon basode, if he was not wearing them but rather found them in the field, mashiram shum meachar deshomo miklovim, he should leave them there in the field if they are guarded from dogs. They're secure, dogs won't get to them where they are. V'im basode einom nishmorem klal, if they're in the field and they're not secure at all, oz machnisam lebeso, then that's the case that the Mishnah that was cited under house number 3 was speaking about. You can wear them home. With that, we come to the end of our first perek, but we continue on Omid Beis with the beginning of the second perek of Be'a. The Mishnah, Yom Tov Shechal Lios Erev Shabbos. This Mishnah features the issue of cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So we have a case where Yom Tov comes out on a Friday. Lo yivashil b'tchilo miyom tov l'shabbos. You shall not start your Shabbos cooking on Yom Tov. Avol mevashil hu l'yom tov. You are allowed to cook for Yom Tov. Vim hoysir hoysir l'shabbos. And if you have food left over, so that can be used for Shabbos. There is another way to take care of your Shabbos meals, other than simply using the food left over from Yom Tov. The oise tafshil me'erev Yom Tov. One would prepare a dish on Thursday, which is erev Yom Tov, v'somech olav l'Shabbos, and rely on that as the, we'll call it the beginning of your Shabbos preparation, and then on Yom Tov, you can continue cooking for Shabbos. Our objection is, our primary objection is, that you shouldn't have the, you shouldn't start your Shabbos cooking on Yom Tov, but rather, if you started cooking for Shabbos from before Yom Tov, and all that you'll be doing is continuing your cooking for Shabbos on Yom Tov, that would be okay. Now, when the Mishnah speaks about making a tafshil b'shama yomrim shnei tafshilin, that one is expected to prepare two dishes, u'beisil omrim tafshil echad, it's sufficient if you prepare one dish on that Thursday. V'shoven, there is agreement, b'dog u'beitz sh'olov shehen shnei tafshilin. If one prepares fish with an egg coating, that would constitute the two dishes. So that base Shammai will agree that if that's what you prepared for Shabbos, and you prepare that on Thursday, that is what we call the Eruv Tafshilin. Ochloi Oisho Ovad, if before you started your Shabbos cooking on Yom Tov, this Eruv was consumed or lost, lo yevashil olov betchila. So then you can't start cooking for Shabbos. You need to have that Eruv in place before you finish your Shabbos preparations. V'mshir mimenu kolshu, somech olov l'Shabbos. If, however, a small amount of that Eruv, that prepared food, remains, so you can rely on that for cooking for Shabbos. The Gemara asks, Minohani Mili, from where do we know this? And on the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, Bosis u'makoros le'eruv tafshilin, working for a basis and sources for this phenomenon, or for this institution known as Eruv Tafshilin. The Rashi, at the beginning of the Gemara commentary, three lines from the top, Minohani Mili, lav davka mikro yolif, the Gemara will be citing a Pasuk. So Rashi is telling us that when we read the Pasuk, don't think that the Pasuk is the actual source. The Eruve Tafshilin de Rabbonan. This idea of Eruv Tafshilin is a rabbinic invention. The Hochi Kom Bayale Ahechas Mechur Rabbonan. What the Gemara's question really is, based on what Pasuk did the Rabbonan invent this halacha? Again, the Pasuk is not the source. The rabbis came up with a source, and they said that there's a, and the feeling is that there's a pasuk that can serve as a reference point for the rabbi's institution. We have some markings, and under the mivneh heading on the side, you can see the bow tie is featured. These are shnei psukim. They highlight two psukim that the Gemara will introduce. The double underline are shnei amoroyim shemazbirin haposuk horishon. Two amoroyim that explain the first posuk, and we will see Rava and Ravashi. So now, with that in mind, mino hani mili. Once again, we, as based on the Rashi, we saw the question is, which posuk do the rabbis use as their reference point, as a not as a, I don't want to use the word source because it's not a source, but it's a, the rabbis create a halacha, and then they say that this following pasuk could be a type of hint to our teaching. So what is that? What is that reference point? Omar Shmuel, Yomar Kro, Zohor Es Yoim Hashabos Likad Shoy. That pasuk is found in the Ten Commandments. And it's explained here, Zohrehu Me'achar Shebo Lashkicho. Remember the Shabbos before you forget it. In other words, the word Zohor is taken to mean to remind yourself of something that could otherwise be forgotten. And the element of being forgotten is that when a person is involved with preparing for Yom Tov, he could forget about Shabbos that is coming up right afterwards. Talking once again, Yom Tov is on Friday, and since on Yom Tov people have large meals and people make expend a lot of efforts in preparing those meals, he might simply forget about Shabbos, the Shabbos, and setting aside something for Shabbos. This you can see in the Rashi on the first narrow line, Kishebo Yom Tov Berev Shabbos Korov Shabbos Lishtakeach Machmas Yom Tov. When Yom Tov falls out on a Friday, one could easily forget about Shabbos. Shemarbe Besudas Hayom, he has large Yom Tov meals, Ve'enu Meniach LeShabbos Kidei Kavodo, and he doesn't leave over for Shabbos that which is fit for the honor of Shabbos. V'zircha Kosov LeZochroi, and the Pasuk is warning us to remember the Shabbos. U'kshema'are Ve'ruvei Tavshilin, when a person troubles himself to prepare this Eruv Tavshilin, Nimtso Shezochro, that enables him to remember the Shabbos. Sharei Eino Oisel Machmas Shabbos, he's preparing it for Shabbos. So now let's continue in the Gemara. On the first wide line in the middle, he says, Mai Taimo, why is this? And here the question is, why did they establish the Eruv Tavshilin? Before, the question was, what is the pasuk based on which the rabbis formulated Erev Tavshilin? Here, it's a more fundamental question of why did they make it in the first place? Omar Rova, Kedei Shiyivror Monu Yofel LeShabbos Umonu Yofel LeYom Tov. Once you make an Eruv, so that will put the person on notice to prepare a nice portion for Shabbos and a nice portion for Yom Tov. And that he won't use up all his good portions for Yom Tov. So that Rava places an emphasis, or the emphasis that Rava places is upon the dignity of Shabbos. We want to preserve the honor of Shabbos. So make the Erev Tavshilin and you'll know to set aside a good portion for Shabbos as well as Yom Tov. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar, Kedei Sheyomru, Ein Oifin Miyom Tov LeShabbos, Kavachomer Miyom Tov LeChol. By requiring people to make an Erev Tavshilin, it will put everyone on notice that Yom Tov is not a day on which you start your cooking for Shabbos. That would be a dishonor to Yom Tov. However, by making the Erev Tavshilin, so you've started your Shabbos cooking already before Yom Tov. That the fact that you continue cooking for Shabbos on Yom Tov is not considered a sign of disrespect to the Yom Tov. But to start your cooking on Shabbos on Yom Tov for Shabbos, that would be a disrespect to Yom Tov. So as far as Rav Ashi is concerned, in order to preserve the honor of Yom Tov, start your Shabbos cooking from before the onset of Yom Tov. Tanan. Oisin Tavshil Me'erev Yom Tov V'Somech Olav L'Shabbos. The Mishnah said you prepare a dish from before Yom Tov and you rely upon that for your Shabbos cooking. Bishlam Olav Rav Ashi. As far as what Rav Ashi explained, this works out well. The Omar Kedeshi Yomru Ein Oifin Miyom Tov L'Shabbos. From Rav Ashi's explanation that said we want to put people on notice that you don't start your Shabbos cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, Hainu, the Me'erev Yom Tov, in the Yom Tov Lo. Hence, the Mishnah's teaching that you prepare the dish from Erev Yom Tov on Thursday. Thursday, yes. On Yom Tov, Friday, no. That makes sense. You have to start your Shabbos cooking from before Yom Tov. Ela la Rava. But according to Rava, whose interest was choosing a good portion and to leave aside a good portion for Shabbos, my Irya may Erev Yom Tov. Why does the Mishnah speak about the preparation of the Eruv Tavshilin specifically Erev Yom Tov? Afilu b'Yom Tov Nami. If you were to make an Eruv Tavshilin on Yom Tov day itself before you started Yom Tov meal preparation, wouldn't that be sufficient? By making the Eruv early on Yom Tov day, that will put him on notice not to finish off all the good portions for Yom Tov and leave aside some good portions for Shabbos as well. So why the emphasis on preparing the Eruv Tavshilin from before Yom Tov? The Gemara says, in Hochinami, in, yes, what you are arguing is true, so then why insist on it being done Erev Yom Tov? We're afraid that if you wait till Yom Tov proper, you're going to be negligent and you will forget. So therefore, prepare it from before Yom Tov, when you're less torud, as Rashi says, less preoccupied. So, as Rashi says, look at Rashi a few lines down from Shema Yivsha. Ishkach, Yivsha is to be negligent and forget. V'lo Ya'arev, if you're going to wait till Yom Tov, early Yom Tov day, to make the Eruv, which helps remind you not to finish off all the good portions for Yom Tov itself, well, you might forget the Mishum Detored, because on Yom Tov itself, you are preoccupied with other things. We continue now in the Gemara. We have a second botai. This introduces a second pasuk. V'tana maisi lo mehocha. He quotes the following pasuk. It's Perek Tezayin of Sefer Shmos, pasuk of Gimel. But we feel that there is value in noting what it says in pasuk Chof Beis. Just before this, the Torah spoke about Vayi Bayom Hashishi Loktu Lechem Mishneh. The text deals with the collection of the mon. A double portion of mon was collected on Friday in anticipation of Shabbos. So the context of the pasuk is coming on the heels of Friday. The pasuk says, "Es asher tofu efu, ves asher tevashlu bashelu." That which you need to bake, so you bake, and that which you need to cook, so you cook. Rashi, Es asher tofu efu, havei lei lemichtav hayom afu ubashelu. That's what the pasuk could have said, but it doesn't. It speaks. It's more elaborate than that. Ele remezhu, the pasuk is a hint. Sheyesh l'cho yoim shishi, there's another kind of Friday, she'ein oifin l'tzorech mochar, that you don't bake for the next day. So there is a Friday, and of course, that's a reference to Yom Tov, where Yom Tov comes out on Friday, where we will tell you, you're not allowed to bake on that Friday for the next day. So we continue now in the Gemara. Mikan, Omar, Rebbe Lezer, from here Rebbe Lezer says, Ein oifen ela al ha'afui. You're not allowed to bake on that Friday which is Yom Tov, unless you started baking on Thursday. Fein mevashlin, and you don't cook on that Friday, which is a Yom Tov, ela al ha'mevushal, unless something was already cooked on Thursday. So, Mikan, Somchu Chachom, Leruv Tavshilin, Minatra. Based on this, the Chachomim established their rule of Eruv Tavshilin on a Torah Pasuk. So that, just to summarize the point here, we said that these Psukim are dealing with Friday and the collection of Mon, and the point is, generally speaking, on Fridays, you bake and cook on Friday for Shabbos. However, the extra wording in this pasuk, as Rashi pointed out, is a hint that there exists a type of Friday where you can bake and cook on the Friday for Shabbos only if you started the baking and cooking from before. That's Ein Oifen Ela Al Ha'afui. You can bake on that Friday only if you had started the baking on Thursday. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Nosei. We'll see a Machlokas, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Im Yom Tov, Kulo Lashem Olochem, Ol Chetzi Olochem V'Chetzi Olashem. Is Yom Tov a day that is dedicated exclusively either to the Almighty or to our personal human enjoyment, either or is it a day that is split? Chetzi lechem and chetzi lashem. Tanu Rabbanan. And here we open with a Tanaic source that has a story featuring Rabbi Eliezer. We can tell you ahead of time, Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion of kulo lashem or kulo lochem. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer shoyad yoshev v'doresh kol ayom kulo b'hilchus yom tov. A story involving Rabbi Eliezer who was sitting and holding forth, lecturing on the laws of Yom Tov all day. Yotza Kas Rishona. So during this lecture, a group of listeners, left to go to partake of their Yom Tov meal. They left in the middle of his lecture. Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, upon seeing them going, he said, Halolu Bale Patsin. These are Bale Patsin. Now Rashi says, Bale Patsin, Chovios Gedolos, Echinu Lehem, Be'anamolim, Umosach Mishtois. Patsin are large barrels. And so he's saying that these people that are walking out, they must have prepared large barrels of fine wine, and they're running out to enjoy the good drinks. And Rashi continues to say, "Lefikuch miro lo seis klomar bali nefesh hein veinon yigein lishmoa Torah." These are people that want to engage in personal physical enjoyment, and they're not willing to extend themselves for the study, for listening to Torah. The story continues. Kashnia, second group, walks out. Omar, and then Rabbi Eliezer refers to them as Hali Bali Chovios. Chovios are barrels, but they're smaller than Patsin. In other words, they were willing to stay longer, but not that much longer. They apparently had barrels of wine that they're running out to drink. Kas Shlishis, a third group, walks out. Omar, Halolu Bali Kadin. Kadin are pitchers, they're smaller than Chovios. They stayed even longer, but still, they also have this element to them that we alluded to before, of course, in the eyes of Reb Lezer. Kasrevius, a fourth group, walks out, and he continues his drasha. Omar, he says, regarding them, Halolu Bali Leginim. Leginim are flasks. They're smaller receptacles than a kad. Kaschamishis, a fifth group, walks out, and he continues, and they're walking out, and he's still darshaning, he's still lecturing. Omar Halolu Bali Koisois. These people have cups of wine that they want, they're running out to enjoy. Of course, they stayed much longer, so his description of them is more complimentary, if you will. They're going out to drink, but it's a smaller amount. His Chilu Kashishis Lotzeis, the sixth group, was about to walk out. Omar Halolu Bali Me'ira. The word Me'ira in other contexts means cursed ones. Rashi says, Halolu Bali Me'ira Shoya Beis HaMedrash Misroikin Me'oid. At this point, the Beis Medrash was becoming very empty. Ugnai HaDover V'Koshmanov. It was denigrating. It was a disrespect to the Torah, to the lecture, and this troubled him much. And that's why he speaks rather harshly. So we have this sixth group starting to walk out. And you hear him saying, Halolu Bali Meir, these are the cursed ones. Nosan Einov B'Talmidim. Rabbi Eliezer looks upon the students that remained there. Hischilu Pneihem Mishtanim. And they started to have, their faces started to turn colors. And as they were afraid that he was getting angry with them. The Rashi, on the last narrow line, Hischilu Pneihem Mishtanim, Kisvurin, the ones that remained sitting there, figured Shekoyes al Kashishis, that he was getting angry at the sixth group that walked out, Mitnei She'ichru Lotseis, the Kol Shekein Aleinu. They thought that he was getting angry with them because they walked out late, and he's certainly going to be angry with us. Omar Lohem. So Rabbi Lezer said, Bonai, lo lochem ani oimer, I'm not saying this to you. Elo lahalolu shiyotsu, I'm rather saying this regarding those that left. Shemanichim chai oilim v'oiskim b'chai shah, that they left the study of Torah, which provides a life of eternity, in favor of chai shah, Rashi says, se'uda, eating a meal. Eating food preserves you for the moment. It preserves you in this world, quite different than Torah, which helps to preserve you and grant you a life of eternity. B'shas p'tirosan amar lehem, when they did walk out, he said to them, L'chu ichlu mashmanim shus mamtamkim. This is a pasuk, as you can see, from Nehemiah. And he says, go and eat rich foods and drink fine drinks. V'shulchu monos le'ein nochono, and send portions to he who doesn't have. Ki kodeshem l'adonenu v'al te'otzvu. Today is a holy day. Do not be saddened. Ki chedves Hashem hi ma'uzachem. The joy of Hashem is your strength. So it's pointed out that even though to those who left early, they were running out to eat food, but that was because they were leaving before the end of the drasha. Here he had reached the end of the drasha, and it's now time to enjoy, to engage in Simchas Yom Tov. This point that he's telling them to engage in Simchas Yom Tov, you can see that Tosis makes reference to this, Dibur Masal Osha Oichel. Omar Mar. Now the Gemara goes over some of the points we mentioned. Shemanichim chai oilam v'oiskim b'chai shah. He mentioned that those who left early to partake of the meal were abandoning the life of eternity to engage in temporal existence. V'ha simchas yom tov mitzvahi. But is it not so that enjoying Yom Tov with good food is in fact a mitzvah? How can you refer to that as merely chayeshah, simple momentary pleasure? A mitzvah is something that also has a divine importance. Rabbi Lezer Litame, Rabbi Lezer in referring to Yom Tov as chayeshah is in consistency with Rabbi Lezer elsewhere. Diomar Simchas Yom Tov Rishus. Rabbi Lezer says that the idea of engaging in physical enjoyment on Yom Tov is an option. It's not a command. Desanya. Rabbi Lezer Omer Ein Lo La'odam B'Yom Tov Elo Oichel V'Shoisa O Yoshev V'Shoina. Rabbi Lezer says that as far as Yom Tov is concerned, a person can either engage in eating and drinking, or in sitting and in the study of Torah. So, since the study of Torah is a way of celebrating Yom Tov, and one who opts to do otherwise, he might not be a sinner, but he is passing up on that which is eternal for that which is not obligatory, because there is the option to study Torah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chalkeu Chetzio Lashem VeChetzio Lachem. Rabbi Yeshua's approach to Yom Tov observance is to split it half in divine or spiritual celebration, which is accomplished by the prayer, by davening, and by the study of Torah, and the other half, lochem, for human enjoyment, physical pleasure, good food, good drink. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushne Mikra Echa Darshu, both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua Darshin, come to their conclusions based on the same psukim. Kosev Echa Omer Atzeres Lashem Elokecha. One pasuk says, Atzeres is a reference to the holiday of Shavuos. Says it is unto Hashem. Kosev Echa Omer Atzeres Ti Elochem. Atzeres is given unto you. Okay, Tzad. How do you resolve one pasuk saying Lashem, the other pasuk saying Lochem? Rabbi Lezer Sovar O Kulo Lashem O Kulo Lochem. Rabbi Lezer says there is an option to have it either completely for your personal enjoyment or for completely for spiritual enjoyment. Rabbi Yeshua Sovar Chalkeu. The two represent two halves of one whole, and you split Chetzio Lashem VeChetzio Lochem. As we continue in the Gemara, you see the use of a diamond, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, Hezberei Kitei HaPosuk D'Liel. We're going to be explaining sections of the Posuk that were mentioned earlier. You can also note a star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you align this with the star above, you see where this quote is coming from. My Li'ein Nochoin Loi. It said in the Posuk and send portions, Li'ein Nochoin Loi. What does that mean? Omar Rav Chisda, Lemi Shelo Hiniach Eruvei Tavshilin. There are two versions of what Rabbi Lechisa says. Next, we have an Aleph. Send portions for those who didn't prepare an Eruv Tavshilin. So you're going to have people that won't have food for Shabbos because they didn't prepare an Eruv Tavshilin. So send to them portions. Iko diamri, mi shelo hoyo loy lohoniach iruve tavshilin. The posuk is concerned with those who didn't have a chance, were unable to set up to prepare an eruv tavshilin. Those people should be your concern. An example of that Rashi cites is someone who on Thursday, which was Erev Yom Tov, had lost an article of value, and he spent all day looking for that item, and hence he didn't have a chance on Thursday to prepare the Erev Tavshilin. The Gemara continues, Avo Misha Hoya Lola Niach Erev Tavshilin Vloniach, someone who could have prepared an Erev Tavshilin and didn't bother doing so, Posheahu, he is negligent, and he does not have to be your concern. The Pasuk was not taking someone like that into consideration. My ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uzechem. What does that phrase mean? We have a triangle, and on the side, the triangle is simply an indicator of memros of Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Lozer Rav Shimon. Omer Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Lozer Rav Shimon. Omer lohem HaKodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. The Almighty turns to the Jewish people and says, Bonai, my children, Lavu Olai V'Kidshu Kedushas Hayom. Borrow on my account. Borrow money and buy food and drink for the holy day. V'aminu bi v'ani porea. And have trust in me, I will pay back. I will enable you to come up with funds in order to pay back any loans you might have taken for the sake of preparing properly for Yom Tov. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon. Haroitzish Yiskaimu Nechosov, a person who wants his property to last and not be contested, Yita Bohen Ador, plant in his property something called Ador. Rashi says, Yitabu an Ador ilon choshuvu, yesh lo shem merachok. It's a very important tree, and people will know about your having an Ador. The Oimrim, and they will say, Ploni yesh lo Ador b'sodeu. So-and-so has an Ador tree in his field, mitoch kach yinikreis al shmo. And that field will then be associated with so-and-so, who is the owner of it. If the owner were to take a trip abroad, and someone else would come and squat on the field, claim possession of it, the original owner will be able to have a lot of witnesses that it was his. The ilu mochra, and if the original owner were to sell it in an actual sale, the presence of that tree will also cause it to be public knowledge that the field that belonged to so-and-so is now being transferred to the second party. The basis of this is Shenema, the Pasuk says, Adir Bamaroim Hashem. And Rashi explains, Klomar, Sha'ador, the word Ador, Loshen Kiyum V'chozek. It's a term referring to longevity and strength. Lochei Nikra Ador. And the Pasuk itself, Adir Bamaroim, is a reference to the mighty one in the heavens, but it has to do with mightiness. So it will enable you to have strength over your field. Inami, the Gemara continues, another take on the word Ador is Adra Kishme. The word Adra is, as its name indicates, Kidamri Inshi, my Adra, as people say. What's behind the word Adra? The Kaimo Lidori Dori, it lasts for generation to generation. So the word Adra has in it the word Dor. Dor is a generation. Tanyo Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source, supports this. Sodesh Yejbo Ador, Enon Nigzeles. A field that has an Ador in it is not going to be stolen. Veino nechmeses, it won't be strong-armed away. Upeiroseho mishtamrim, and its fruit will be guarded. Rashi, regarding peiroseh mishtamrim, has several approaches, and he says v'lo yadana mahi. First approach, I don't know what that means, that its fruit is guarded. Yesh meforshim shenoyten oisal agvulin v'yesh lo anofim harbe v'u l'sodik l'geder. A second shot is that this tree was planted around the borders of the field, and it was very, very branchy, and hence it served as a fence. And v'li nira, this is a third approach altogether, different approach, shumin esev choshuv, v'zar misar v'maperos, v'besod elovin komar. It's a type of very significant grass, and its seed gets mixed with the fruits. Ubesoda lovon komar, and asoda lovon is a grain field. Mishtamres atvua min aknima v'atoloim. This grass preserves the grains growing there from different types of insects and worms. Sherechoy sezera mavrichon v'horgon, the scent emitted from these seeds works as a repellent and kills them. There's a substance called chumtin that serves as a grain preservative. There is one point that we skipped over in learning the Gemara, but it's never too late. Six lines from the bottom, the Gemara asks, "My chedvas Hashem imu uzechem," and based on that, Rabbi Yochanan taught that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the people and says, don't worry, take out loans and I will enable you to recover your funds. So on that, we look at the Rashi. Chedvas Hashem, Simcha Sha'atem Oisim B'Shvil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the festivity that you make for the Almighty, Harei Yi Ma'uzchem, it is your strength. He Tazor eschem l'shalim hakfosechem umuvasechem shetilavu b'shvila. The word ma'uzchem means your strength. So it's your strength in being able to pay back those loans and credit that you might have taken for the Yom Tov is that very point. In other words, your strength comes from the simcha that you are making for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Since you're extending yourselves, even taking loans and buying on credit, for the sake of Yom Tov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will enable you to recover those funds. We continue at the bottom line of the Gemara. Toni Rav Tachlifa Achva de Rav Noi Choyza. Rav Tachlifa teaches the following source. We continue at the top of Daf Tes Zayin. Kol mezaynosiv shel adam ksuvim loy merosh hashana. All that a person is going to profit in a given year is established at Rosh Hashanah. In other words, based on a person's behavior, his mitzvos, and mitzvos and his averus, so that a person committed during a particular year creates an account that is established at Rosh Hashanah. Rashi at the top line says, "Kol mazonei shalom, kol ma she'osid listakir b'shana she'nizon misham." All the profits that a person will profit, which will be his source of sustenance for a given year, kotsuv lo kach v'kach listakir b'shana zu. It's established how much he will profit. V'yeshlo lizoyer milasus yitzia meruba. And here is a word to the wise. Since a person's funds are fixed at Rosh Hashanah, a person should be careful not to make large expenditures. Shelo yosifalo schar lemezonos lemashe poskulo. He won't have funds added to his account other than that which was already established. So a person obviously, a human being doesn't know how much that was, so a person should be very careful in his expenditures. Of course, we always say a person should not become miserly, but he should be wary. So the source continues that this idea that funds from which a person will sustain himself are already pre-established from Rosh Hashanah. Chutz mehoitzos shabosos v'otzos yomim tovim, with the exception of the money that a person will spend on Shabbos, will spend for Yom Tov, for Tzoas Bonov L'Talmud Torah, and expenses that a person incurs for his children's Torah education. Shem Pifes Pochasin Lo, if he lessens the amount that he spends for that, so he won't profit much for that. The im hosif, if he expends a lot for those things, mosifin lo, it will be added. It won't come off the amount that was set at Rosh Hashanah. So the Rashi says, chutz meotzos shabosos oisa lo poskulo ma yistakir litzorcha umeichon tevoeu. The expenses that a person has for Shabbos and Yom Tov and children's Torah education, those were not part of the original account established at Rosh Hashanah. Elo lefima shirogil mamtzien lo l'shah olachar shah. Simply, whatever he is accustomed to spending for those things, that will be provided for him at that time or a little bit later. Rashi continues, pochasin lo, klomar, mamtzien lo schar muat. If you spend little for those things, so the amount you will recover for those things will be also little. Well, we can continue back in the Gemara. Omra biavo, my craw. What is the posuk that indicates that a person's income is established at Rosh Hashanah, and as we said before, based on how one behaved and his deeds during the year, it's then calculated in heaven and established what the account will be at Rosh Hashanah. What's the pasuk? Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. It should be pointed out that the pasuk goes on to say, as you can see quoted another next line, Ki chayk l'Yisraelu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. So the pasuk begins by saying, Tikku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel em chagenu. Esu chag, which holiday is it, shehachodesh miskase boi, that the new moon, the new lunar phase, is not visible? Hevi omer zeh Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah, which comes out at the beginning of a lunar month, at the beginning of Tishrei. So that is a holiday during which the new moon is not visible. Uksiv, it goes without saying that the lunar cycle and the Jewish months correspond to one another. The moon reaches its full phase in the middle of the month. At the beginning of the month, it's practically invisible. Hence the reference here to which holiday comes out when the moon is practically invisible. That is the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Uksiv, and the same pasuk says, Ki chayk l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. My mashma dahai chayk lishn demizonihu. From where do we know that the word chok, chok in this pasuk is taken to mean food, funds for buying food? From where do we see the word chok is associated with that? Dichtiv, answer one, v'ochlu es chukam asher nosan lem paros. The word chukam in the context of their eating, so they're eating their chukam, their food. Mor zutra omar mehocha, he suggests another pasuk, hatrifeni lechem chuki. So you see the word chuki together with lechem, bread, food, income, sustenance. So as the pasuk indicated, that it's on that day, when Kesel Yom Chagenu, on Rosh Hashanah, that Chok L'Yisrael Mishpat L'Yaakov, that the Almighty establishes the Chok L'Yisrael, the food, the sustenance that a person will have for that year. Tanya, Omru Olov Al Shammai Hazokin. It was said regarding Shammai, the elder, the head of the academy known as Beis Shammai, Kol Yomov Hoya Oichel L'Chvod Shabbos. All through the week, the eating that he did was in honor of Shabbos. What do we mean? Shabbos is only one day of the week. How can the whole week be in honor of Shabbos? Motze behema no, if he found a nice piece of meat, literally a nice cow, Omar, he would say, Zu l'Shabbos, this is for Shabbos. Motze acheres no emeno, if he would find in the course of the week a nicer one, meniach es hashnia, v'yichas rishona. He would then leave aside for Shabbos the second, the nicer one, and consume the first one. So Rashi says, "V'oichas rishonu nimsa oichlo lezu kedesh te'ayofe necheles b'Shabbos." He's eating the lesser one now, so that the better one is available for Shabbos. Da'avi la'achilos l'shel rishonu l'chvot Shabbos. In that way, his eating of the first one, which was during the week, was really for Shabbos, because by eating the lesser one during the week, he was making available the better one for Shabbos, so that even the earlier one, the eating during the week, was with Shabbos in mind. So his whole week was eating with Shabbos in mind, for the honor of Shabbos. Aval Hillel azokin mido acheres hoy solo. Hillel had a different approach. Shekol maisiv l'shem shamayim. Rashi says, L'shem Shemayim Boteach, Shetizdame Lonoya L'Shabbos. He had an internal fervent faith that the nicest one, a nice one, would become available for Shabbos, so that he wouldn't, if when he had something nice, he would eat it. Something nice comes up later in the week, he would eat it. By the time Shabbos came, when Friday came, he had faith that that would be very nice, maybe the nicest one, but Shabbos would not be shortchanged by the fact that he was not doing like Shammai and always saving the better one for Shabbos. And where does Hillel where does he derive his basis? Shenema Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. Now Rashi adds the continuation of the pasuk Yom Yom Yamos Lonu Es Tzorcheinu Vezrasenu. The pasuk is found in Tehillim, the Perek Samaches Pasuk Chaf, where it says, Boruch Hashem Yoim Yom Yamos Lonu Hokel Yeshuasenu Sela. the Almighty is blessed every day, and He provides for us. And He will provide for us what we need. So therefore, Hillel took the liberty, if you will, of practicing what he did. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a braisa like this. Beishamay Omrim Mechad Shabecho Lishabosecho. From Sunday, I pay attention to the upcoming Shabbos. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Boruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. Like we saw in the previous source. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.